Did you ever just kind of have, I don't know what you'd call it, just kind of this brain lapse for a minute? You tried to do something, maybe more continuous as I get a little older. I have those. I was trying to write the word resume this week. And so I typed it out, and I just looked at the word, and it was like, that looks like resume to me. And so I said, I need to do a search on the definition of R-E-S-U-M-E, because it seems to me like that's how you spell resume, but so I typed in the definition, and it comes up, to continue to do something with something after a temporary halt. And that didn't help my brain any. I said, that is resume. And I was wrestling with my own self there. I want the word resume. How do I spell the word resume? And it wasn't underlining it, so I wasn't going wrong. And so I added some other letters to it, and then it underlined it red, so that wasn't right. But every time I would search on the internet for the definition, I would get the continue with something after a temporary halt. I said, that has to be resume. And so as I continued, you got to have a couple of Nike swishes on the top of the word, I guess, that completely changed the whole meaning and the whole pronunciation of the thing. No wonder I can't get language. Because resume turns into resume. And sometimes they don't even include the little swishes that are supposed to be on the top. My keyboard doesn't have swishes. I looked all over the keys, the 80 keys. It does not have it has a comma or something that you would split apart to show possession. But it doesn't have the little Nike swishes you're supposed to put at the top of resume to change resume into resume. But today, resume is the word. A resume is a short, I found it after a while, a short account of one's career and qualifications. That's a resume. It's an account of one's career or qualifications. It's what are my qualifications? So I have a little quiz here this morning, and I'm going to give you just a one-liner off of a biblical character's possible resume and see if you can guess the biblical character. Here's the first one up. Built a floating barn that housed up to 40,000 animals. Yeah, Noah did that, right? Did you realize that it housed up to 40,000 animals? And that's just only a portion of the place, and they had the rest of it for hay and grain and whatever else they needed. The thing was enormous. How about this next one? Led 2.4 million people out of slavery. Moses, there you go. Moses, yes. How about the next one? Interpreted a dream and saved hundreds of people from execution. Any thoughts? Daniel. Who said Daniel? Yeah. Daniel did that, right? Daniel interpreted the dreams, and all the satraps and all the wise men they were doomed for execution because they could not interpret the dream. And David and God gave Daniel the interpretation of the dream, and he saved the hundreds of people's lives from execution. How about this next one? Went on a short-term mission trip, and 600,000 people turned their hearts toward God. Jonah, right? He didn't even want to go. Talk about a successful short-term mission journey. 600,000 people come to Christ, and he was the bad boy that in the back of the bus. He didn't really want to go. How about this next one? An angel of the Lord assisted me in breaking out of prison. Peter. It was Peter, right? Peter, the angel, an angel of the Lord showed up and freed him from prison, right? How about this next one? Stood humbly in front of and thwarted the deadly intention of 400 angry and aggressive warriors with a picnic basket of food and a simple plea. Any thoughts? Abigail. It was Abigail. Abigail stood in front of David's men and stopped them from on their deadly intentions of going to get Nabal. So how about this final one? trusted the Lord without wavering. David made that claim. That's on David's resume. Just so you be honest, I want that on my resume. I don't know if I'll ever build a barn that can hold 40,000 animals. And really, I don't know if I'll ever stand in front of 400 angry soldiers with a picnic basket. I don't know if I'll ever do that. I don't know if I'll ever get a chance to lead 2.4 million people out of slavery. I don't know if I'll ever get the interpretation of a dream that would save hundreds of people's lives from execution. I don't know if I'll ever get a chance to do those things. I don't know if my resume will ever include those things. But I want my resume to include trust in the Lord without wavering. I want to be able to put, David put that in Psalm 26. That was part of his resume. He trusted the Lord without wavering. I want that in my resume. Psalm 26, verse 1 says this, "Vindicate me, O Lord, for I had led a blameless life. I have trusted in the Lord without wavering." I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. David, in this part of his life, he has been chased by Saul, and he's been falsely accused, and Saul has tried to slander him and vilify David at every turn. Saul is hunting David with an unhealthy obsession to even kill him. And David is hiding somewhere, and he's saying this. He said, "God, vindicate me," or "clear me of this blame. Clear me of this blame, God. Vindicate me. All these lies that are being spread, all this vilification that's being done on my life, all this that Saul is saying, vilify or vindicate me, God. Clear me of this blame." And then he goes on to say this. He says, "For I have led a blameless life, or I have walked in my integrity." That's probably a better translation. I have walked in my integrity. I have led a blameless life. I have walked in my integrity, which I found a very interesting statement. He didn't walk in somebody else's integrity. You're not going to be able to walk in somebody else's integrity. You're going to walk in your own integrity. He said, "I have walked in my integrity." My integrity, this set of principles, this set of guidelines that rule my life, the possessing and steadfastly adhering to these high moral principles. God, I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted you without wavering, God. Vindicate me, God. I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted you without wavering, God. Vindicate me, God. I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted you, Lord, without wavering. I said, wow, what a statement. I want that as part of my resume. I want to walk in my integrity. If I can learn from others and I can learn how to strengthen my integrity, but it has to be mine. I want to walk in my integrity, and I want to trust the Lord without wavering. I want that to be a part of my resume. I want that statement to represent my life. I need to stop thinking of all the reasons, all the times I didn't trust in God. Our minds will go there automatically. And even now, you're saying, well, that's a very big statement. I can think of this time and this time and this time when David didn't do that. Will we stop? Will we just stop spending your efforts on self-sabotaging? Will you just stop spending your heart and your mind and your soul efforts on beating yourself up? Will you stop? Will we stop spending our energies on doing that and say, you know what? My resume is going to include that I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. I have walked in my integrity. I'm going to walk out my integrity, and I'm going to trust God. Oh, you didn't do it this. I know, but I'm going to walk with God and without wavering, and I'm going to walk in my integrity. Am I making sense this morning? This is what I want. Do you want this? Do I want this? Do we want this? This is what David is saying. God, vindicate me. I'm walking with you, God. And there's a lot of stuff going on around me, but I'm walking with you, God. And I want to walk with you. I'm going to embrace your journey for me. But I think verse 1 in this passage is really the end of the psalm. I think verse 1 would be better, verse 12, and verse 2 would be verse 1. Because I think the pathway to verse 1 is through 2 through 12. And I think he got there. Do you want to walk? Do we want our resume to include, I have trusted in the Lord without wavering? That's my question for myself this week, and that's my question to all of us this week, is do we want that? Do we want to walk in my integrity? I will trust you, Lord, without wavering. Verse 2 says this, then test me, O Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind. Test me. Run me through the scanner, God. Give me a CT scan. Give me some blood work. God, do what you've got to do, God. Test me, God. Run me through the test. Why is he asking this? Because he wants to trust the Lord, and he wants the stuff that's not able to trust the Lord in his heart and in his soul. He wants it found out so he can deal with it. Because there's stuff in us that does not want to trust God without wavering. And he said, you know what, God? I want that as my life representation. So I need to be tested by you, God. Run me through the scanner, God. But give me an MRI, God. Give me an X-ray, God. Whatever you got to do, God. I got the paper gown on, God. You run me through the testing. You test me, God. And try me. And the word there is separate the worthless from the worthwhile. God, you get out of me what is not, what is worthless, what is not wanting to trust you always, God. What is not building my integrity. Yeah, separate me from that. Examine me. Then look me over again. My heart and my mind. And my heart and my mind. Test me and try me and examine me. Test me, try me, and examine me. Because I want to walk in my integrity. And I want to trust the Lord without wavering. So God, I need to be tested. And I need to be tried. And I need to be examined. I need to be run through the scanner. I need to be found out what is worthless in me, and it needs to leave me, and I need to be going through the process again and again and again and again and again, because come hell or high water, I'm going to trust in the Lord always. Verse 3 says this. I find it very interesting that he comes to verse 3 right after that. For your love is ever before me. He just submitted to the testing of God, and the first thing he finds out, not what's wrong with him, what's right with God. Do you hear me? He didn't find out what was wrong with him first. He found out what was right with God first. He said, your love is always before me. I am saturated in your love, God. And that word is loving kindness, and loving kindness is love and grace and favor, kind of all wrapped into the same word. So he finds out when he submits to the testing and submits to the examination and he submits to God, he finds out first and foremost that God is a loving kindness God, that God loves him, that God, his grace is sufficient. And he finds out that God's favor is on him. And I think that's why he can go any further than he's going to go. I think without that statement, we would end this in verse 2. If we would end this, if we didn't have a loving God, New Lifers, if we didn't have a loving God, you would say, God, test me, try me, and examine me. And when he starts showing you your stuff, you would run for your life. When he starts showing you the garbage in your life and the separation and all that junk in your life, you would run. But the first thing he shows us is how loving he is and how full of grace he is and how much favor is on you. Your love is before me. Your loving kindness, God's grace and his favor and his love wrapped in unity is on you. God's love is on me. God's grace is on me. God's favor is on me. Before we go any further today, you've got to know that, or you'll run out of here with your tail between your legs. Because you're not going to be able to do verses 4 through 12. We're not going to be able to do it without knowing that God's love is on me. God's grace is on me. God's favor is on me. I had coffee cups made up this week with that statement. So when you drink coffee this week, I want you to remind yourself, wait a minute, before we go any further in this day, I got to know that God's love is on me. I got to know that God's grace is on me. I got to know that God's favor is on me. Because I'm not going to make it through this day, and I'm not going to make it through these steps without knowing that for sure. Look at the second half of verse 3 says, I walk continually in your truth. I walk continually in your truth. You see what he's saying? God, I need to be tested because my goal is to trust you without wavering and to walk in my integrity. And God, I'm going to be tested and examined and tried by you. And I find out that you are a loving, gracious, favor-giving God. And he says this, I'm going to walk in the truth. Whatever you show me, God, I love this passage. Whenever you show me, God, the word is yes. Whatever you say, I will walk in the truth because my life resume is going to continue to include that I walked with God without waver. Beautiful passage of Scripture. Written probably when David was hiding in a cave somewhere, being lied about and being inundated with all kinds of garbage from this world and being oppressed and depressed. And he said, God, I need you. And he finds out that he's talking to a loving, gracious, and favor-giving God. And he comes out with saying, I will continually walk in your truth. I will walk in your truth. Jesus says in John 17:17, says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Truth is powerful. Push the button. Truth is powerful. Truth is this. Truth brings holiness. Truth brings victory. Truth brings life. Truth brings stability. Truth brings healing. Truth brings freedom. That's what David is saying. I will walk continually in your holiness. I will walk in victory. I will walk in life. I will walk in stability. I will walk in healing. I'm going to walk in freedom. I will walk in your truth because you are a loving, gracious, and favor-giving God. And I will walk in your truth because, push the button, because God's love is on me. I will walk in truth because God's grace is on me. I will walk in truth because God's favor is on me. I will walk in truth. Because God's love is on me. I will walk in truth because God's favor is on me. I will walk in truth because God's grace is on me. I want this to be a daily thing for us. Because I want our resume to include, I walk with the Lord without wavering. Well, we're not going to walk with the Lord without wavering unless we walk in the truth. And we're not going to walk in the truth unless we know that we're talking to a loving, gracious, and favor-giving God. Why will I walk in the truth? Push the button. This is going to be a continued thing. Push the button. Because my resume will include, I walked in my integrity, and I trusted the Lord without wavering. That's why I'm going to walk in truth. Because I can't, that's not going to happen unless I walk in truth. And I'm not going to walk in truth unless I have a loving, gracious, favor-giving God. And I'm never going to come back to a God for testing, examination, without knowing that He's loving, gracious, and a favor-giving God. So how do I get that on my resume? I walk in the truth. Look what he says in verse 4. I do not sit with deceitful men, nor do I consort with hypocrites. I do not sit with the deceitful men. I do not partner with them. I do not consort with hypocrites. I do not team up with them. The hypocrites are one who say one thing and do another, those who hide their true intentions. My energies will not be spent this way. That's what he's saying. I will not partner with those. I will not rant and rave about those who rant and rave. I will not add fuel to a meaningless argument or agenda. I will not throw mud at people who are throwing mud. I will not complain about people who are complaining. Do we realize that just adds complaining? I will not lie with those who are lying. Do we understand that that doesn't diminish lying? That just adds to lying. And David says, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I am not going to partner with those who are deceptive. I'm not going to partner with those who are taking advantage of people. I'm not going to partner with those who belittle and criticize and grumble or whine. I am not going to add problem to problems. Does that make sense this morning? We got to get that. Because David said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to walk in truth. But you know what else I'm going to do? I'm not going to act like the world. I'm not going to act like there's enough problems that doesn't need me adding my problems to them. And I make this point right now, he said. I'm going to make this point right now. God, I'm going to walk in your truth. Because my resume is going to include that I'm going to trust in the Lord without wavering. I'm going to walk in my integrity. But I'm never going to do that by walking the way of the world. I will not partner with the world. I will not fight like the world fights. I will not talk like the world talks. I will not be drawn into that arguments. I will not be drawn into that garbage of the world. I will not add garbage to garbage. I will not be part of the problem. And why is that? Push the button. Because God's love is on me. Because God's grace is on me. Why won't I do that? Why don't I talk like the world? Why won't I act like the world? Because God's love is on me. Because God's grace is on me. Because God's favor is on me. So therefore, I will not be a part of the problem. Am I making sense? So every morning, as we drink our coffee, can we make that statement? God's love is all over you. God's grace is all over you. God's favor is all over you. And I will not be a part of the problem. Why? Because my resume, push the button, my resume will include what? My resume will include I walked in integrity and I have trusted the Lord without wavering. So I will walk in the truth and I will not walk the way of the world, or I will not consort with those who are doing the things like the world does them. I am not going to be part of the problem. Look at verse 5, because he says, I abhor the assembly of evildoers and refuse to sit with the wicked. You know what that means? The same thing in verse 4. Only all of a sudden he kind of stood up. He's sitting down. He said, you know, I'm not going to be part of the problem. In verse 5, he says, no, I'm not going to be part of the problem. And he gets up and he starts marching around the cave. He starts punching the cave. He said, I'm not going to partner with those that are doing that stuff. That's exactly what he's saying. Push the button. Why? Because God's love is on me. Because God's grace is on me. Because God's favor is on me. I will not be part of the problem. Aren't you amazed that even David had to tell himself that twice? I mean, he finds out he's got this loving, gracious, and favorable God, and favor-giving God that's on him. He says, he makes this heart-wrenching, I will walk in your truth, and all of a sudden he realizes there's a way that's not truth. And he said, I'm not going to be part of the problem. And then he gets really anxious and he says, I'm telling you, I'm just not going to be part of the problem, because I'm telling us we're living in a world that's full of problems and it's easy to be part of the problem. Walk in truth. Don't be a part of the problem. Let me say it again. Don't be a part of the problem. Verse 6 says this, I wash my hands in innocence and go before your altar, O Lord. The worship, the love, and the devotion pointed toward God. The serving, I'll serve you, God. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about worship and serving. The energy being used to further the kingdom of God. my energies, and I'm making this commitment maybe every morning as I sit down and I drink coffee. Every morning I said, God, I know that your love is on me. I know your grace is on me. I know your favor is on me, and I will walk in truth. I am not going to be part of the problem today, God. I'm just not. I'm making this commitment. I'm not going to be part of the problem. I'm going to walk in the truth, because my resume will include, I trusted God without waver. Woo. He says, as a matter of fact, I'm going to worship and I'm going to serve my God. I will worship and serve my God. Push the button. I will worship and serve my God. Why? Because God's favor, His love is on me. Because God's grace is on me. If you get nothing out, you're going to think I've lost my brain and just repeating this over and over and over. However, I did find out that resume and resume are the same word. Just to make a confession, it only took me about 45 minutes to come to that conclusion. Why? Because God's love is on me. Because God's favor is on me. Because God's grace is on me. How can I do this? Because it's on me. And my resume will include, it will include that I've walked with God without waver. Verse 7. Proclaiming aloud your praise and telling of all your wonderful deeds. That's what I'm going to do next, he said. That's what I'm going to do next. I'm going to make a commitment in front of a loving, gracious, favor-giving God. I'm going to make a commitment to walk with you and walk in your truth. You know what else I'm going to do? I'm going to make a commitment not to walk the way of the world and not to be part of the problem. You know what else I'm going to do? I'm going to commit to serving you this day, God. You know what else I'm going to do? I'm going to have a thankful heart this day. I'm going to determine right now, whatever comes before me, I'm going to give thanks to you, God. Whether it's easy or whether it's rough, I don't know. I don't know what lies before me. I find myself praying in the morning, God, I thank you for what lies before me this day. And all of a sudden, it floods over me. What if something bad happens this day? And God says, it's going to do you no good to get mad at me. You might as well have a thankful heart. So as we make those statements, as we sit down and drink our coffee, can we say, I will have a heart of thanksgiving this day. I'm going to do it. Why? Why do I need to do that? Why do I want to do that? Push the button. Because my resume will include I walked in my integrity and I trusted the Lord without wavering. Verse 8 says this. I love the house where you live. You see the intimacy that he's getting now with God? All of a sudden, it's just not, I'm going to walk in your truth. All of a sudden, the man, God, I love your house. Wow. God, I love you. I love where you live. Oh, Lord, the place where your glory dwells. Oh, your presence, God. I love your presence, God. I love being in your presence, God. Even when you're testing me and you're trying me and you're examining me, even when that goes on, God, I know because you're a loving God. You're a God with full of grace and you're a God who gives favor. Man, I just love your presence, God. And I'm going to stay in your presence. I'm going to walk in your presence. I'm going to soak up your presence, God. How can I do that? How can I do that? Because, push the button, because God's love is on me. Because God's grace is on me. Because God's favor is on me. I will spend time with God. Why am I going to spend time with God? Push the button. You might have guessed by now. Because my resume is going to include I walked in my integrity. And I trust the Lord without wavering. It's never going to happen unless I enjoy the presence of God. Too many of us have this presence. We think that maybe God is like an earthly dad or an earthly father or earthly somebody. And God said, that's nothing like me. And I want you to walk with me. And I want you to enjoy my presence. So every morning, can we just say, God, examine me because you're a loving and a gracious God. You You're a God whose favor is all over me. And I'm going to walk in your truth, and I'm not going to walk the way the world walks. I'm going to serve you today, God. And I'm going to enjoy your presence, God. Because my resume is going to include, I trusted the Lord without wavering. Let me say, I just feel compelled to say right now, stop self-sabotaging. Get out of your mind right now when that did not happen in your life. Will you just lose that thought? Because if you can think of one time you didn't trust God fully, you're going to say, this is all hogwash. It's not. Because you got a loving God, you got a gracious God, you got a God who is full of favor. The loving kindness of God is all over us. Look at verse 9. 9 through 11 says, do not take away my soul along with the sinner, with sinners, my life with bloodthirsty men in whose hands are our wicked schemes, whose right hands are full of bribes. But I lead a blameless life. Redeem me and be merciful to me. If he never messed up, he wouldn't have to ask for mercy. You know what I think he's saying there? God, do you know what kind of world I live in? Because the world I live in can be very detrimental to my integrity. And the world I live in can be very detrimental to me trusting in God without waver. And God, I don't know if I'm always going to get it right. Can I just ask right now, will you redeem me when I don't get it right? And will you be merciful to me when I don't get it right? When I drop the ball, God, will you pick me up? When I drop the ball, God, will you stand me back up and brush me back off? God, I just need you. I enjoy your presence. And when I drop the ball, I need to know that you're going to be there. Because why? Because you're a loving God. You're a grace-filled God. And you're a God that gives me favor. Push the button. So when I mess up, I will confess up. You know, if I can just and that's not a blank check to do whatever I want and God's going to cover it. That's just not. But it's going to be part of my life. Because why? Why is that going to be part of my life? Because the next slide is going to tell you, and you might have guessed by now, because my resume is going to include, I walked in my integrity. And I trusted the Lord without wavering. And walking in this world is not easy. And walking in this world can be very detrimental to my resume. In verse 12 says this. It's the last verse. My feet stand on level ground. In the great assembly, I will praise the Lord. How is that even possible? You know what that means? I am firm. Because God's love is on me, you might have guessed by now. Because God's grace is on me. Because God's favor is on me. And I will walk in my integrity. And I will trust you, Lord, without wavering. And how can I do that? How can I do that? Because God's love is on me. God's grace is all over you. Because God's favor is raining down on you. Do you want your resume to include that? Push the button one more time. Then we need to walk in truth. We will not be part of the problem, and I will not be part of the problem in case you didn't hear me the first time. And I will worship and serve my Lord. And I will have a heart of thanksgiving, and I will spend time with God. And when I mess up, I will confess up. Because my resume will include, I walked in my integrity. And I trust the Lord without wavering. How about it, New Life? Stand with me today. God, I thank you for these moments together, and I thank you for Psalm 26, written by a guy 3,000 years ago. Then when I read that this week, I said, man, I know what he feels like. And Father, I knew that I wanted what he had, and I knew that I wanted what he had, and I knew that you are the God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so if you gave it to David, you would give it to me. If you gave him the ability to trust you without wavering and the ability to walk in his integrity because you are loving and gracious and favor-giving God, then you'd give it to us too. You didn't include that in the Bible just to show us what you did. You include that in the Bible because you showed us what you do. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that we would come before a loving, gracious, and favor-giving God. We are surrounded by your loving kindness, and we would walk in your truth, and we would not walk the way of the world. And, Father, that we would know your truth. And, Father, we would love and serve you, and we would enjoy your presence. And we would have a heart of thanksgiving. And when we mess up, we would confess up. Because I can't speak for everyone in this room. I'll just speak for myself. Because my resume will include, I walked in my integrity. And I trusted the Lord without wavering. So Father, thank you for that. And Father, we're going out of here now. We've released our thanksgiving. We've released our worship. We've released the Word of God. And now we're being released into this world that desperately needs people who are walking in their integrity and who are trusting God without waver. So blessings on this body of people here and online. Blessings, God. Just anoint them this morning. Anoint them with a fresh anointing to go out of here, all of us to go out of here, or to shut off our TVs, to get out of our chair, to whatever we're doing. Anoint us to walk it out with you without wavering. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.